Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Delicious Talk Radio, the segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and our shows are for the mature listening audiences only because we discuss sex and other social topics here. Topics we don't discuss are religion and politics. We also have the most fascinating guests in our studio. And if you're listening to this show and you're not age appropriate, we will not be responsible for our guests or conversations that may influence you. Hope everybody is enjoying their evening in the warmth of their home. You know, we're going to really get this show on the road shortly, but I want to have a moment of silence for one of my Facebook friends. We never met in person, but we were Facebook friends. She died suddenly. I think it was either Saturday or Sunday. She was known as the perfume chick. She made shea butter perfumes. She just did a lot of things, and she sold a lot of her products to celebrities, and she was just an all wonderful person. But like I said, I never met her in person, but she was my friend on Facebook, and so I consider my friends on Facebook the ones that I haven't met and the ones that I have met, all my friends. So we're going to take a moment of silence, and her name was LaShawn Lindsay, the perfume chick. So let's take a moment of silence and let's have a little prayer for her loved ones that she left behind. Okay. Hope everybody, you know, like I mentioned earlier, is having a beautiful evening, because I certainly am. Today was such a wonderful day for me, because you know what? I woke up on this side of the dirt. And if you're out there and hear my voice, so did you. May God bless you. And, you know, those who didn't wake up this morning, may they rest in peace. This evening we have a very special guest whose name is Julie Carrasco. I hope I pronounced that right. If not, she'll correct me when I bring her on. And she is the host of the podcast video series, Cleaning the Clutter Inside and Out, that launched on September the 9th, 2014. By October, she was in the top 10% podcast downloaded and is on target to be in the top 8% by the end of the year. She is in the process of writing a book on healing. She is currently focusing her passion on her clutter-free living workbooks and podcasts, as she has found that when people release clutter, they can begin to create the life they chose, deserve, and desire. And, you know, I'm going to really get into this because I know that clutter can cause different things to go on in your life if you're living in clutter, you know, I guess spiritually as well as mentally, but we'll get into that. I'm going to bring on my guest co-host, Terry. How you doing, darling?
I'm good, Gail. It's a little cold out here in Indiana, but I'm from New York, so I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Well, isn't that terrible what's going on in New York?
Oh my goodness. Well, my daughter
and my family
lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
you know,
they
are
fare
so
very
blessed.
Well. We are.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
are.
You know, and people, you know, like I say sometimes, I'm not going to complain, but that's just a natural thing, and everybody, you have your
right.
own complaints. But, you know, looking around at the situation
Absolutely.
The world is in and the different things people are going through in their lives, who are we to complain? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm going to be grateful as much as I can and, you know, try my best not to complain because I could be in someone else's situation
oh, yeah.
who is worse off than myself, you know, so... with that being said, we're going to bring on Julie and get this program on the road because I'm very interested in, you know, finding out about this clutter, you know, what to do about it, and, you know, just so I can choose the life I desire and deserve, you know, because I live in clutter sometimes, I will admit, you know, but we're going to get Julie on and get this show on the road. With that being said, good evening, Julie. How are you?
Good evening, Gail. Thanks for having me on.
Oh,
hello,
you're
Julie.
More than welcome. That was my co-host, Terry, speaking to you.
Hey, Terry. Glad you're on as well.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Have I got some news for you? But go ahead.
Well, tell us a little bit about Julie, you know, how you, you know, where you live at and, you know, how you come about to come across being the one who helps people declutter their lives.
Well, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina currently.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was, so we're a little probably warmer than both you ladies, but I was in a really bad job. And I woke up and said, well, what could I do? Because I want to start my own business. And I thought, what could use my skill sets, but that I'd enjoy doing? And organization is what I came up with, because I have kind of a type A side, but I also have a very creative side, a very spiritual side. And so it was a perfect meld. And so in 2009, when I started my business, I called it Healing Through Organization, because I literally saw when you release clutter, how it supported people in transforming their lives. And then when I ended up starting a show and things kind of moved in a different direction, I now have it under Reawaken Your Brilliance, because that, even more so than Healing Through Organization, really gets at the root of what makes me excited and what I like to work with people, because we're all brilliant. We all have our gifts, and sometimes we forget it, but also clutter prevents us from being able to share our gifts with the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you speak of clutter, does that mean maybe your house is a little cluttered, or you're spiritually cluttered, or is it a combination of the both, or, you know, just what is this clutter?
For me, clutter is in all forms, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And whatever is going on inside of you is definitely reflected in your environment. I can now go into home and have a good sense of what is going on with someone inside without them having said a word, based on how their house looks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
I wish you could come and...
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying I wish you could come and see mine, because my office now, the problem that I have with my clutter, I will admit, it's basically my office. And mm-hmm. I'll get it cleaned up. It'll be cleaned up for a few days or whatever. Then the next thing I know, the clutter is right back. And I really cannot function in here as properly opposed to when it's not cluttered. But I do have to come into my office every day. And the other clutter is my bedroom. The rest of the house, mm-hmm. you know, can be okay. But it's basically my bedroom and my office that's cluttered. And I, you know that that affects me mentally and spiritually, but I just, you know, it's just, I don't know what the thing is, so, you know, I wish that you could come in so you could tell me, you know, what's this problem, what's going on, and why it's you know, I'm just cluttered like that.
Now, and see, what do you really do if you're a neat clutterer? I'm a neat clutterer.
Okay, so you have to just, because that can mean different things to different people. So when you say you're a neat clutterer, what does that mean to you?
That means I love organization, and I have all my clutter in little piles. It's not thrown all around. It's in piles, but it looks so neat and nice, but it's clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay,
OCD
that's okay.
Type of thing.
Gotcha. Okay, well, what I would say is if you look at clutter, that's stuck, stagnant energy. And, you know, if we want to move forward in our life and create the life that we choose, deserve, and desire, we want to be able to flow into that. And so clutter prevents that. And what,
it's true.
You know, it's, again, it's really individualized. And so when I work with a client, we dig deep and ask questions. But there, gosh, there are just so many things that it could be. Like sometimes it's a fear mm-hmm. of success. Sometimes it's a fear of failure because, Gail, you know, you talked that your office is one of the areas that has clutter. And so I would wonder if that's maybe something, I don't know. Again, there are myriad of issues that could be behind it. And then it's interesting that it's also your bedroom because I consider, for me, the bedroom to be a sacred space. Mm-hmm. And that is where mm-hmm. I have time with my husband, but it's also for me to rest and recharge. And mm-hmm. that's something that really, really is sacred, and I really strive to keep it that way.
Well, see, I'm not married, and I don't, you know, I'm not in a relationship or anything like that, but I'm not using that as an excuse. But I do understand mm-hmm. that the bedroom is supposed to be sacred and, you know, straightened up and all this and that. Now, at times when I clean it up, it'll be clean for a few days, whatever, then I'll come in and, you know, take off something and just leave it there. Like, if I... taking my clothes off at night to go to bed, I'll just drape them over this mm-hmm. little trash can that I have that's next to this wall, next to my bed, and I'll just do that, and then I'll take something else off, and the next thing I know, the trash can is with clothes draped mm-hmm. all over it. Then I'll take my shoes off and leave them there, you know. Then I'll just say, because the other day I did wash, you know, I did my laundry, and I brought the clothes upstairs, and they were on my bed for maybe almost a week. They wasn't folded up or anything, and I kept saying, I have to get these clothes folded up. So I did fold them up, but guess what? I moved them from the dresser. Now, they're all folded up, but now they're on top of my dresser, so I have to get mm-hmm. them put away. It's just something that, I don't know, for some reason, I just, you know, my bedroom will not stay cleaned up. It just gets cluttered, but, you know, once I clean it up, I'm all comfortable and, you know, feeling good. And the same, is, you know, applies to when I clean my office up because I can function really well mm-hmm. in here once it's cleaned up. But, you know, as long as it's cluttered up, I'm just, like, moving this paper here because I'm a paper junkie because every piece of paper, I have books that I have jot down notes in forever and ever, you know, and I have those mm-hmm. out. I have pieces of paper that I jot on that I have different. I have a table opposed to the area where my computer is, and I have a table. I have the remote control because I have a television in my office as well and different stuff that's on this table. I'm looking at this table now. But generally, you know, everything is in cleaned up and put away. But for some reason, it just... you know, it just bothers me, but I don't know.
Well, I have a couple thoughts. First, I want to talk about paper clutter. There is a great free app out there called Evernote. Have you heard of it, either of you?
No.
Evernote? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, the symbol of Evernote is an elephant's trunk because, you know, they say that elephants never forget. And so that would be a great resource. You can download it. This is free, too, on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a smartphone,
mm-hmm.
you have
mm-hmm.
a tablet, and it all syncs. excuse me. And so you can tag things, so it makes it really easy to search. Because, for instance, I have show ideas or things like that. I'm like, I've got to write it down. If I don't write it down, I'll forget it. But I can write a description and tag it, and so it's easy to search. And it's a lot easier than having, if you're like, oh, I wanted to bring that quote up for next week's show, and I can't remember what book it's in. It's a lot easier to do that on Evernote. So that's a step, in
Evernote, that's Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
Evernote.com. Okay, I'm going to check that out.
Well,
because
Julie,
I have.
What could be my problem? I mean, I don't put my clothes on stuff. I hang them up as soon as I get in the room. But I have this thing with if I go away and have suitcases or whatever, I will leave those suitcases on my floor until my next trip, if it's next year, if it's next week. I can't seem to put a suitcase away. I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So is it an unpacked suitcase or it's just the suitcase itself?
No, it's got clothes in it, and then as I look for stuff, I'll go in there, and I say, oh, yeah, I remember it's in there, and then by the end of the 6 months, everything's out.
I do the same thing.
Seriously.
That's interesting. I mean, I should say that right off the bat that I have a very holistic attitude towards everything I bring in my work, bring a spiritual component because it's just who I am. And so really when you were speaking, what popped into my head is, do you not want to come back? Like you're like on vacation, you're having a really good time, you're relaxed, and then you're at home. And is that possibly a way for you to be like, I'm not going to admit I'm back home to the mundane?
Yes. I don't like putting suitcases away.
You know,
I lived in Greenville, North Carolina, 14 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I know Raleigh. But I'm a neat clutterer. I mean, everything's neat, but it's a lot of neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I absolutely do. And so one of the things, for an example, sometimes people hold on to things. Say books, for example. That's one of the hardest things for me to let go of. We've just gotten 3 boxes out of the house in the new year. I was really excited about that. But for some people, they're afraid, oh, my gosh, if I let this book go, I'm going to lose that information.
Right.
Which, you know, really with the Internet these days, we can find what we want. But that's a fear. So depending on what you have a lot of, there's, you know, usually insights to that. Is there anything in particular or you just have piles of different things everywhere?
I have old mail.
Now that's interesting. Why do you keep old mail?
I am so afraid of throwing it away that it might come up again for some reason. I really think it's OCD. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I just
and it could be.
It is.
Now, what I would say to you, and again, like I'm not treating OCD. That's not what I do. But I would say trust. Whatever your faith is, God, universe, higher self, whatever you feel comfortable saying, trust you'll get what you need when you need it. And then I would encourage you to dig even deeper on that because I'd want to know, was there something that happened in some point of your life where you didn't save something, you know, for lack of a better word, got caught with your pants down and suffered a consequence because of it? So it's like that fear being played out and not being able to be released.
Yes.
Well, I save old receipts. I have receipts back from, I was looking at a receipt the other day and it was from 1997. And I said, why am I still holding on to these receipts? And I used to have a bag of receipts and I always told my daughter because she has a habit of soon she buys something, she throws a receipt away. Then she calls me. Ask me, Mom, you see my receipt? No, you threw it away. She needs to take something back to the store. But I just hold on to receipts for the longest time.
Now,
I just don't.
You know, so 97, it's too late for a tax write-off. You've missed the boat on that. And so I want to, why would you hold on to something that long? I mean, if it's, you know,
well, you know what? I was going through some papers because I, like I said, I'm a paper pack rat, and I saw the receipt. And when I opened it, I said, "This is from 1997." But I did get rid of it, but what I'm saying is I still hold on because I have receipts from 2014, and it's 2015. I have some receipts from 2000. I think I have receipts back as far as 2010.
Well, anything tax-related, you know, that's something you'd want if you have a tax. Like, I own my own business. So, for instance, I can write off my office and do things like write off electricity and all that. They figure out a percentage. So stuff like 2014, I can understand if it's for tax-related purposes. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with holding on to receipts for a year or maybe two. But one of the things where people get in trouble is they don't maintain clutter. Like if I come in and work with someone, when I'm done, I'm like, okay, here's where I've noticed you get stuck. Here's your clutter control plan. And so this is the game plan now that I leave. But you have to do it every year. Every year I go through every single thing that I own to release clutter. Every single now, because I'm on top of it, what I do is it started, and this year actually we started this month, which was unusual, but usually I did it in July. One July when I was living in Los Angeles, I didn't have a date for the 4th of July, and I was like, well, I'm in a small little condo. I'll just go through everything I own, and this is before I ever thought I'd be an organizer and let go of stuff. But so I've been doing this for, I don't even want to know, 15, 20 years, whatever it is now. But because I go through everything yearly, stuff doesn't add up. And like, for instance, we went through the bookcases in January. So I do little things like that throughout the year. Once you do a big purge, then it's a lot easier to keep on top of. But the problem is people will buy, bring stuff in, but never purge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I have to really be a little bit more conscious of things that I do because, like I said, hold on to receipts and then writing every little piece of paper I write a note on. Then I have, like, you know, tablets that are full of notes and things that I've written over the years, you know, and I still have some of the tablets.
But see, that's just collecting dust. You're not doing anything with it, and so it's clutter. So what is your fear that you're going to lose if you let that stuff go?
Well, because some of the notes that I wrote on there, to me, is something I can refer back to. For instance, when I'm, like, if I'm trying to do some research on something and they'll send me to this website, I go to that website, and if I like the website, I'll, you know, write it down and, you know, highlight. It's like when I go through this book, I know that that's something that's important for me to look, or either I can find it quicker like that. So that is the purpose of me. You know, that's just the purpose of me doing that.
But how often do you refer to these notebooks? Because, you know, we can gather information, and never do anything with it. And again,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying get rid of everything, do whatever. What I'm trying to do is challenge you to push yourself and think a little bit more about all this stuff that you're holding on to, because you had a receipt from 1997, and only because
mm-hmm.
you were going through things, you found them. So if you're doing a regular maintenance plan and, you know, you can bookmark a website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have to keep a paper or something. And again, if you use something like Evernote where you can tag and it's easily searchable, then you won't have to write everything down.
Oh, okay. I'm going to definitely check this Evernote out. Really, because it's, I was just in my office, like I said, today is very cluttered, and I was going through these papers, and I said, well, I need this one. But I do quite a few papers away. I will admit that I, you know, looked over them again, and I said, I don't need this, and just trashed it. But, you know, it's still, you know, papers that I guess I have to look over again and again and then make that decision as to whether I can throw them away or not. And just some papers, little bits of paper that I find, I'll write that down in the notebook that I have and then throw that piece of paper away, make it one less, you know, less paper, loose paper, or little index cards that I write on, you know, different things of the sort. So that, wow, that is a problem.
Well, another thing you can do is take a box, put a bunch of these notebooks in and date it. And if you haven't opened it in 6 months, you know, or a year, whatever you're comfortable with. I wouldn't push it too much past that and then release it. That's something I have clients do because they're like, oh, I might need it. And then if you haven't looked at it in a year, again, one thing I would suggest getting in the habit of is really questioning, okay, why do I feel I need this? And setting up a system is really important. You know, if you've got, write something on a Post-it, if you write something on a index card, that's not really well organized, and so you're going to lose stuff, and that's going to create a lot of clutter. Now, you said you do have the notebooks, which I think is really great, because that's a way to keep it contained. Clutter, when it spills over, it just tends to grow. If you don't address it, you think, oh, I'll just set it down here for a second, but then that pile that was just, you know, seemed hardly anything in 2 weeks has grown, and it just continues to grow.
Okay, now let me also mention I have oodles and oodles and noodles of business cards. But what I had did with my business cards, I had bought I guess it's a little book that has it, so you can put your business cards in it. But that book is filled up, and I still have oodles of business cards because I, you know, get business cards from different people, and, you know, sometimes I may be in a restaurant or somewhere, or someone walks up to me and give me their business card. So I'm trying to, well, at one point I went through them and I saw some that I really didn't need or, you know, wasn't corresponding with, but I still have a lot of business cards. So would you suggest I get another book and put those in there, or go through them again and eliminate them and then put the rest in another book? Or
go through them again. That's going to be your first assignment. Because if you can't tell me where, and one thing I want to suggest, when you go to meet someone in a restaurant or you're in a business event and you get someone's business card, jot a couple things down. Okay, I met them at the steak fry on February 1st. They have two kids. They're interested in karate. So that you have mental notes, I think, is really important. Because, again, even if it's a personal or professional, you're like, okay, I can remember, and they're, you know, as we get older, we just can't remember as many things. So, but a lot of times I found with people, we don't remember or know who the majority of the connections are. So first thing I'm going to say is definitely go through them again. And really, like, if you can't remember who it is, that should be your first step.
Okay.
And then, you know, again, I can't emphasize enough purging, because where people get stuck is, they don't want to let it go. But then, you know, think about it. When's the last time you went through your business cards or you accessed your business card holder to find a business card?
Well, I am looking for one card that I think that's in. I know that it's not in with the ones that are in the case, but it's somewhere where I have the rest of the business cards. That's, so I definitely have to look in there for that particular card that I, because I was talking to a friend about it tonight, and I know that I have that business card, so I have to go through that, but I won't do that until tomorrow because I don't feel like going in this room that they're in. I have a room that I have stuff that's in this room, and I'm just, you know, just talking to you, just finding out these different things that, you know, how to go about releasing this clutter is a little bit therapeutic for me, because I just, you know, I'm just holding on to all these different things that I'm holding on to, and I hold on to them to a point where almost like a you know, because I watch Hoarders sometimes, and I be seeing the things that they don't want to throw away, and I say, well, that's nothing but trash, and they may say the same stuff about the things that I don't want to throw away, but I'm not a hoarder, you know. But I can understand, you know, a person when they say that is something that means something to them, and then again, it may not even be worth anything. So, you know, having this conversation and finding out the little tidbits that you did relate to me, I'm going to work on that, because I know that, you know, as you had mentioned, not, you know, using these things for a period of time, why am I holding on to them? I need to go back and check out all those business cards and eliminate the ones that I figure that I do need, and get rid of the ones that I don't need, because I have so many of them.
Well, I
Julie,
did a podcast. Go ahead.
Julie, I just have one more thing to say about me and my
stuff here I hold on to, and I have no idea why. I have big bags of unused medication that for some reason I don't take the whole bag and just throw it in the garbage.
Well, you have to be careful about that. I know when you, like people say to flush meds down the toilet, and that's a, shouldn't do that because that can get in the water supply.
Uh-huh.
I know here in Raleigh they have medicine drop-off bays, and I'm not sure
really?
Where you're located, but I know, oh yeah, to take back expired medication.
Uh-huh.
And I know that it's not just here, that that's a movement people have done. So what I would do is check out and with your local government to see
uh-huh.
about, because, you know, here we do it a couple times a year at least. So I think
excellent.
That's the best option that I'm going to suggest. And I wanted to I just did a podcast on this. And when you're, first of all, it's a process. So respect where you are. It takes, the first time people are trying to let go of clutter, it tends to be a challenge. But like anything, it's a muscle. So the more you use it, the easier it becomes. But if you get stuck, ask questions like, do I love it? Do I need it? You know, I think because a lot of times we confuse a want with a need. Oh, want, have, but it's truly not a need because we've got this shiny object syndrome, trying to keep up with the Joneses. A lot. I mean, when you look at that, you know, we have a lot here in America. And even though we have people that are without a lot, still our standard of living, we have, most of us have access to clean water. Most of us have a roof over our head. Most of us have food to eat, and there are people, you know, who don't have any of that. So
right. Really
digging deep, is this a want or is this a need? Asking yourself, does it represent who I am or who I want to be? Look, think about your closet. Do you have something? I raise my hand. I'm not perfect. The skinny jeans. Probably most of us have that, and they're taunting. They're saying, ha-ha, you can't fit in us. And if I was harder on myself, I'd be like, okay, you're gone. I'm going to let you go because you don't represent who I am or who I want to be. Yeah, it's great, but why don't I treat myself when I lose 20 pounds instead of having that clutter in the back of my mind, oh, I have some of these clothes that I can't wear.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, Julie. Okay, could clutter contribute to, say, like, you know, you're growing up? And your mom, you know, she kept her house cluttered, you know. Or could it be a thing when you didn't have something, when you got it, you wanted more and more and more of it, and that caused the clutter. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, how does this clutter even develop?
It's completely individual. I'd say yes to both things that you mentioned. So it can be, here's an example. I had a client that was an older woman, well in her 40s, and she had an enormous collection of stuffed animals, which, you know, is not usual, I'd say, for women in their 40s. And
mm-hmm.
talking to her, I discovered, you know, when she was a child, all her stuffed animals were taken away. One of the things is she had no say, they were purged, someone took them from her, and that was traumatizing. So that makes sense to me why she collected stuffed animals, because she didn't have a choice as a child. So there can be an event now. You know, I don't work with hoarders. That's, it's in the DSMV, whatever the psychological thing is. But there are different things. I was just thinking of this the other day. I had got a facial done once and brought some product, and I had a huge, horrible reaction. And so now I will not buy anything unless I get a sample, because I need to make sure my skin's not going to react. Well, what I call it my kryptonite. One of my kryptonites is now beauty samples. Oh, make me lose 10 pounds, bring it on over, get rid of wrinkles, I want to try that. So that's something I know where I'm weak, and so that I need to be extra vigilant. And on top of that. But, you know, another example would be, someone who grew up, I know, really poor. I mean, they had, you know, Massachusetts, which got 25 inches of snow or whatever, and they didn't have heat because they couldn't afford to pay the bill, and the oven couldn't pay the gas bill, so their oven was their source of heat. So you
mm-hmm.
understand, wow, why they would hold on to stuff more than people. But to that I say, That's why living in the present moment is so important. Because if we're in the past, the present's where we have the power to change and create the life that we want. So if you're living in the past, you can understand it, but then the hope is to get the support to be able to move forward. Can you realize, okay, that happened to me as a child. I'm here in the present moment. Then that's another way, if you're able to come to terms with that, that you can release it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Mommy's gonna get you. You want some pouncy pounces? I'll put some wet down for you. It's a pouncy pouncy for the stairs.
That is when righty then, welcome back. That was Gerald and Eddie Levert, The Wind Beneath My Wings. That's a beautiful song. I love that. Okay, we are here with our special guest this evening, Julie Caraccio. Did I pronounce that correctly, Julie?
Caraccio. Close.
Caraccio. Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
And she's discussing with us how when she realized people who had clutter in their life, how they could, you know, get rid of it and create the life that they chose and deserve and desire. And we have been discussing different forms of clutter, as far as like the clutter that I have. And Terry had mentioned that she's a neat clutterer. And, you know, so if you got clutter, you got clutter. But in the meantime, I'm going to let my two other co-hosts, Jade and Rhea, say hello to our special guest this evening. Jade and Rhea?
Hello.
Okay.
I don't know which button to push.
Well, and then those out there in the audience that are listening, feel free to call in. Don't be afraid, because if you're having any problems with your clutter, this is a time to speak with the person that can help you with that, because me just listening this evening, I picked up a few tips that I'm going to apply as far as Julie has expressed, you know, to help me get rid of my clutter, because God knows I am so tired of it, you know, but that's just how it is. Okay, getting back to the show, Julie. Now, also, we also spoke about the spiritual part of clutter. Can you elaborate on that a little, the spiritual part of clutter?
Sure. Here's what I consider spiritual clutter. I loved at the beginning of the show how you expressed gratitude. You woke up because you know that some people didn't. And gratitude to me is, spiritual clutter is things like not having gratitude, not having forgiveness, judgment, comparing yourself to other, examining your perspectives on things. And so it's kind of a deeper level. And, you know, gratitude is a great example. If we don't have gratitude, that can create clutter. Well, gosh, I don't have anything with a closet full of clothes but nothing to wear. You know, we hear that all the time. And so that's what spiritual clutter is to me. I mean, think about it. If there's someone in your life that you were really angry with, didn't forgive them, and then finally you surrendered and you were able to forgive them, it's like you literally feel a weight off of your shoulder. You can literally feel a shift when that happens. So again, clutter is like stuck, stagnant energy, and not forgiving someone is an example of that stuck, stagnant energy. Comparing yourself to someone else. So when I talk about spiritual clutter, those are the types of things that I mean.
Now, you speak of forgiveness. Necessarily, when you forgive a person, you don't really necessarily have to, or is it necessary that you tell this person, I forgive you, or can you just forgive this person?
Oh, absolutely Go ahead. What were you going to say? Between you and
Can you just forgive this person between you and God? Because God knows your heart.
Absolutely. I had the person I needed to forgive most was dead. So I didn't have a choice. They were, and again, I believe you, your spirit lives on, but yeah, absolutely. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is not about the other person. Because, you know, they might even not even know they slighted you. I mean, I think we get so upset about every little thing and these days, and so forgiveness helps you. What's that great quote that not forgiving is like holding on or thinking you're going to give the poison to the other person, but it's actually you drinking it? I mean, that's
right.
Really true. Not forgiving harms you. It doesn't harm the other person.
Right, because I've been in situations where it took me years and years to forgive because I was, you know, I was raped when I was 15, and it wasn't until I was well into my 50s that I actually forgave the guy who, you know, who had raped me. But, you know, after I did that, I felt a whole lot different and a whole lot better once I did that, because, you know, just harboring those ill feelings that I had towards that person, like, And I'm quite sure he knows that I, you know, I would never say anything to him or how I felt about him. I know he knows how I felt about the situation, but, you know, he got on with his life, and I don't know what was going through his mind, but, you know, I know what was going through my mind because I, you know, I was the victim. But, you know, eventually I just said, well, you know, I'm going to just let it go and forgive him. So that's what I did, and it's been, you know, quite a few other people that I had to forgive and, you know, get on with my life. And I understand, you know, sometimes you can forgive and sometimes you can forget, and then sometimes you forgive and it's not good to forget because then you may go back to do the same thing over again. But I believe if you can forget, that may be a good thing, but if you can't, there's a reason that you do not forget. But as long as you forgive, you know, I think that's a step forward. You know, and that's the type of person I am, because I wrestle with different things that have occurred in my life and how different people have done things to me, you know, and then I just, you know, sometimes it'll take me a while, but, you know, I have to bring comfort to myself, you know, and whether they forgive me or not, or whether they still don't speak to me or whatever, whatever, that's on them. I know that I have forgiven not only them, but myself, for holding on to those ill feelings.
First of all, I went through something similar, so it took me years to forgive the person that abused me. So you have to respect it. If anyone's listening has gone through that, that is a process. And I've been interviewed, and, you know, I had one woman say to me, I'm never going to forgive, and that's okay. It truly is. You honor and accept yourself as perfect exactly where you are in this moment. Hopefully throughout life we're always going to be trying to do our best, trying to improve as people. And if you never reach that point, that's okay. But know that it's a process. But I think any step that you can take to move forward in that will help you. And I love that you mentioned self-forgiveness, because that's another big piece of it. We are sometimes, instead of being our own best friends, we're our own worst enemies. And we hold ourselves to these standards that sometimes we can't reach, and we don't forgive ourselves, and we beat ourselves up about it. So self-forgiveness is equally important as forgiving others.
Right, right. And I try to, you know, I try to live an upstanding, uprighteous life, you know, but sometimes you have things that will provoke you, or something that will make that other person, your alter ego or whatever, appear. And I really don't like to be taken out of character, because it's just not, you know, and then when I look back on it, how I let somebody take me out of character, I really feel bad because I let them do that to me, you know. And I promised myself that I would, you know, try my best. And lately, I've been sticking to it, because it's been situations and things that have happened, and I say, well, I'm not going to let this. I'm not going to let them take me out of character, because it's not supposed to even happen like that. So, you know, I think people need to think before they react, because, you know, once that stone is thrown, you can't retrieve it. So I tried my best. You know, when people are angry with me and they're screaming and hollering and, you know, acting crazy, and, you know, I'll just say, you know, I'm just not, I don't want to hear it right now. You know, you will talk about it later or whatever, you know, because I just can't continuously let people dictate for me how they want me to act.
Absolutely, but you hit on something that is a huge...
They're pushing that button. They're trying to push that button, and we kind of allow them, because I know what you're speaking of. I can relate to that.
But what people do has nothing to do with you. How you react has everything to do with you. I don't care if someone comes up and screams at your face. You can remain that calm, peaceful person and not let it bother you, because it's like when you judge someone else, you judge yourself. Truly. If you had no judgment of yourself, you wouldn't judge another. And so that's when,
agreeable.
You know, I mean, another thing I'm passionate about is the victim mentality. As long as you, and I unfortunately speak from experience, and one day I was talking to my brother, and he said, you know what, you see yourself as a victim. And in that moment, I could hear it. And I was like, that's really interesting he said that to me. And so it put me on a path of introspection to learn. I'm like, oh, my God, he's right. Well, after digging, well, it had to do with the abuse because I was a victim and I never got to express that. And I never got justice, and that's a whole other ball of wax. But if you see yourself as a victim, you will be. And so by you owning how I react is my choice, then that takes you out of it. And so someone can do whatever, and of course we're going to slip. Of course we're human. I have a neighbor that dog keeps pooping on my yard and not picking up, and I'm like, what's your problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, be a person here. So I'm not always spiritual 24/7, but the more I practice it, the easier it becomes. So he, you know, said really not ugly things to me, and I'm like, not going to react. I'm not, like you said, I'm going to stay in character. I'm going to steal that. I'll quote you on that. But I love that phrase, stay in character, because people can do what they're going to do, but you don't react, because that's what you have to monitor.
Mm-hmm. I found myself, Julie, that in a situation a few years, over 10 years ago, but it still stayed with me, that I was accosted, stabbed on the street.
Mm.
And yes, I didn't even see it coming. And the person, I really didn't know the person, but I knew the person's boyfriend. And this was the whole gist of it. So it causes me to be aware of my surroundings and people
mm-hmm.
around me now, because I really could have died. My lung was collapsed. You know, yeah, it was pretty traumatic. And I was in intensive care, and all because this female didn't like the idea that her boyfriend broke up with her, and now, you know, here I am. But she should have done it to him. Not that she should have done it to anybody, but she didn't even know me. But I got, you know, severely, you know, for the rest of my life, I've got scars on me, you know.
Absolutely.
And I don't like that confrontation type of thing. I don't like it because you never know what a person is capable of. So
right.
She was cluttered. She was cluttered with something, you know,
most,
like you had mentioned, breaking up with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So she was cluttered, and in order to release that, I guess she just took it out on the first person, I guess, was you to come
mm-hmm.
along and,
yeah, and
you know, instead of her
yeah.
dealing with it, not being taken out of character, she just released
right.
all that bitterness and,
oh my God.
And anger and, you know, whatever was going on in her life at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's
mm-hmm.
what I don't want to succumb to. That other person coming out, you know, so that's
mm-hmm.
why I, you know, when someone confronts me or whatever, you know, I try my best. Well, I haven't lately, like I said, I don't, I'll just either walk away or I tell them, well, we'll talk about this later. When you calm down, you can call me
mm-hmm.
or, you know, we'll talk about it at a different time, because I don't want to, you know, be a person that goes from hot to cold in 60 seconds. You know,
mm-hmm.
and really when, you know, we're all human and we should be able to communicate, you know, animals, they use their instincts, they may fight it out, but we're supposed to talk it out and reason. You know, the only difference between us and animals is that we can reason and we think, when animals work on instincts. But if I can tell you, okay, Julia, I apologize, I'm sorry that I didn't call you when I said I was going to call you, but, you know, please accept my apology, and then you, well, you know, you should have called me, and I don't ever call me again. You know what, I'll just say, well, okay, Julie, you have a nice evening, you know, opposed to, because I could just get just as loud and crazy and screaming and
mm-hmm.
calling and everything else. But, you know, just the point, when I there's a saying that when you argue with a fool, it's hard to tell who the real fool is, you
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I let people go crazy, screaming and hollering, and, you know, just standing there. You know, people say, why you ain't say nothing back? Why you ain't do this? Why you ain't do that? Well, because, number one, I'm not the fool here. You know, they went
right.
and went ballistic and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm not confrontational. I'm not a confrontational person. In my youth, I had problems of, you know, not letting people talk to me a certain way, you know, and doing things in retaliation, all that kind of stuff. But in your youth, you do youthful things. But as you get mm-hmm. older, you have to conform to the age-appropriate things that a person is supposed to do in their life. When you become
right.
a woman, you act like a woman,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I
some
just,
don't
you know,
do that
put off.
Delicious.
That's true. That you're so right. That is true. Some people still are, you know, supposed to be adults, but they act like children. And I am too old to be acting like a child. So mm-hmm. I just, you know, like I said, if someone wants to argue with me or they have an attitude with me or, you know, whatever it is they have against me, you know, keep it to yourself. If you can't come to me like a woman and approach me with a calm demeanor and we talk about it, iron things out, get them straight, then, you know, that'll be all good. But if you're going to be screaming and hollering and acting like somebody crazy, I'm not the one. I am mm-hmm. definitely not the one.
And some, I think sometimes we're also tested because I know when I was going into my transitional stage of trying to have this positive mindset and do the cleansing, you know, the mental cleanse, mm-hmm. as you all talked about earlier, I had an incident and I felt like, is this a test? Where my son was in elementary school and he simply got into a fight with a bully. And I call him a bully because the boy kept picking with my son until my son finally fought him. But when my son beat, when he was beating on my son, nobody said anything. But when my son beat him up, there were three cars deep with parents, grandparents, like aunts was at my door. And my husband was not there and I have my little elementary school at the time, kid, and my oldest son, who was in middle school, I think. And, you know, I'm, like, sitting there, and the lady's in my house. I invited her in. I didn't know that these other people were outside waiting on me. And I invited her in, and she taunts me to come outside. So, naturally, my reaction is to point at my son and say, get upstairs, and for me to tell her, let's go outside. I'm putting my shoes on now because she's threatening me. So my natural reaction, everything went out the window as far as all of the things that I learned about the law of attraction and the think positive mm-hmm. and the meditations and everything had went out the window. And what kind of helped me was to see this older woman who looked like she was in her late 50s, early 60s, standing mm-hmm. there, but then she started yelling at me. And I realized later on that this is the grandmother who later on apologized to me, and I said, it's not no need for you to come up in here two cars deep. Then she corrected me and put up three stands and said, no, three cars, and walked away. Mm. And so, of course, all of the guilt, guilt that my kids were subjected to this, but also the frustration that I didn't say to this lady in a calm demeanor and walk back in the house, you are so much older than every one of us in here, out here. It's not any need. You should be setting an example. So all mm-hmm. of the things that I could have done and should have done, all of that was running through my head for a month. Like, it was haunting me because I felt like I did everything incorrectly when I was trying to transition myself into a more positive mindset in my life. And I felt like that was a test for me. And I just wanted to point out real quick, I wasn't thinking of being victimized. I was thinking protecting my children. So naturally, right. that's what came out when I went out there to say, I'm going to fight this woman head up. I'm going to, you know, I'm going out here because now you're in my house waving your finger in my face and pointing at my son and yelling. And then never not once did she have her kids out of the car until later on, when she's yelling and screaming and jumping around like, come on, let's fight. And this is when I see a whole bunch of people on my front lawn, and I'm like, where the hell did all these people come from? And this lady was clearly wanting to do something, and so it kind of took me out of my character. But I realized, you know, just to, for your guests, I realized I took myself out of character because I could have handled it differently. But your adrenaline is running, and you're like, you know, So a knee-jerk reaction happened right then and there. So, yeah.
But you're human. You're never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
In a situation like that, what I say is breathe. Because when your adrenaline starts going, you're reacting. You're my child. I'm going to protect my child. What's going on? I have all these people on my lawn. That's when you take a deep breath.
Right.
Because that's going to bring you back into the present. That's going to be a in the present. I'm in my body. Hold on, let me evaluate from a more calm place. So that's the first thing I'd suggest. But, you know,
yeah.
if you learn from it, then it's not a mistake. And what I would challenge you on is, and I'm laughing because I see myself in you, and you're like, a month later, I should have said this, I should have said that. So to me, that's a gift, because that says, okay, this woman crossed the boundary. And so, you know, what can I learn from it? What can I learn from it? Where do I need to strengthen? What do I need to do? What is it showing me
right.
about myself?
Right. Well, yeah, that is so true, because I was beating myself up for months, and my husband was like, let it go, and I'm like, I can't, because I can't believe I let it. You know, instead of me smiling and saying to her, which probably would have taunted her even more to
mm-hmm,
want to do something,
mm-hmm.
but I should have, I felt like maybe I should have smiled and said, you know what, this is so not, if you want to come to me one-on-one, and then we can talk, but you need to leave.
Right.
Like, that was the things that were running through my head, and I just felt like I just followed her lead. Like, she just, you know, pulled the strings on me. I was so
wow.
happy because I let it happen, you know. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
so I get what you're saying, but sometimes you're just, your mindset, you just don't think. You just let
right.
it happen, and then later on you go back and you reevaluate and you say, damn, I should have did this way, or I shouldn't have did this, or I shouldn't have did this in front of my children, because what could have happened, it would have been worse, or, you know, whatever the
mm-hmm.
case may be. But, yeah.
But don't beat yourself up. And, you know, the more you practice, the more you breathe, the more you meditate, whatever it is that works for you, then it allows you to keep grounded in that moment. And, you know, she could have been, and again, I'm like, always trust your intuition. And if your intuition was heightened and you thought, you know what, I don't know if this lady's going to pull out a gun, I don't know what the situation is, then you did it right.
Right.
You know, you had to do what you had to do to get inside, get the kids out, do whatever, and so don't be too hard on yourself.
Right, right.
Right.
Oh, no, that was years ago. They're 18 and 22 now, but.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
Back then it was, yeah, I was beating myself up about it.
Yeah, and that does happen, too, because when you calm down, your adrenaline starts running, you sit down and you say, why didn't I handle it like this? I should have did this.
Right.
I should have did that. But also, as Julie had mentioned, you know, you're human, and then the fact of the matter, you know, everything was just happening so fast, and you just went, you know, just how you was feeling at that particular time. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's why I said what I've been doing is just saying in my mind, I'm not going to go out of character. I'm not going to let this person do this to me. You know, sometimes you have to have those little conversations with yourself, which I talk to myself all the time, okay?
So
and I answer myself, okay?
Right,
I'm gonna give
right.
the best answers. But, you know, sometimes you just have to have those little conversations with yourself where you say, well, today is going to be a good day. I'm not going to let anybody rain on my parade. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then, lo and behold, here comes somebody raining on your parade.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, comes to your mind is, well, you know what? I'm still going to have my parade because this person is not going to be the one, not today. That's the
right.
kind of thinking that I'm putting into my brain, because it's just, you know, I don't have time to let people, you know, do things to me that I can prevent. Number one, I'm a happy person. I love to laugh. I love people who enhance my happiness and anybody's happiness that I can enhance. That's what I love to do. And life is too short. It's too short to be holding on to ill feelings and, you know, hating and all that kind of stuff. You know, be happy, love, and laugh is my motto. So if a person cannot come into my life and enhance my happiness and, you know, make me feel good about myself the way I feel good about myself, and I can do the same for them, then it's all good. But if you're going to come into my life and, you know, be miserable and want me to be miserable with you,
right.
no, you got the wrong person. You know, misery loves company, but I don't keep company with misery. I don't even open the door for misery, you know.
Amen.
So those are things that, you know, speaking of, you know, letting someone take you out of character, you know, you really take yourself out of character, but, you know, being provoked at that particular time, you know.
You are.
So.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Well, I
well,
know
we're gonna
for
take
a period, I went through a period about 2 years ago where when instances such as that came up, I would literally bust out laughing and walk away from them. Mm. And a couple of times I said, somebody's going to smack you in the back of your head as you walking away or something like that. But it just, at that moment, I needed to get away from them, and it was funny to me looking at their reaction as they're getting mad because I'm not getting mad at what they're saying.
Right.
I had a habit of, there's this lady who, I hate confrontation. I mean, to the bottom of my feet, I hate it. But mm-hmm. when you put me in that predicament, because I had such a bad temper when I was younger, I'm going to think before I react, because once mm-hmm. you react it, you cannot take it back.
Right.
So
right.
I tend to sit there while you're talking, and I'll say, "Are you done?" And then they'll say, "Yeah, I'm done." I say, "Okay, close my door on your way out." Well, you don't have mm-hmm. nothing to say. Why would I waste my time? Now they're really ready to blow up because I done told
yep.
them they are wasting time. And it's like, mm-hmm. and then I start laughing. I said, okay, either you're going to leave the office or I'll leave the office.
See,
and, you know, or something like
that.
And then they get even angrier. And I found myself laughing at them getting angry because I'm not getting angry at what they're saying to me. And
right.
when it calmed down and they go back to it, they feel like a fool. A lot of times they can't even look at me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because when you think about it, and I had to stop that because people kept saying, y'all, is she cracking up? Y'all, she going crazy? Y'all, she's in that house by herself and she losing her mind? Oh, they thought, it was funny when I thought about it later on. And when people sit up and recount it nowadays, because they bring it up every now and then, and when
wow.
they recount it, they'll say, we was wondering what was wrong with you. I said, it wasn't nothing wrong with me. That was y'all it was wrong with. I just wasn't feeding off into it. But
you know,
have
the old adage, kill him with kindness.
My mother used to do that. And my mother
yeah,
would
and
smile.
That works.
Oh,
that
my mother
works.
Would smile, and she would do this. And she said, okay, baby, we'll talk about that later on. And when they walk away, now she have a fit when they walk away because she let all anger out. Next time she see them, she said, oh, you know, we never talked about that, but I'm sure you done handled your situation by now. So she puts it back on them. But my mother used to do that, and she used to use words that were so
yeah.
sugar-coated, and she done cussed you under the table, and you don't even
mm-hmm.
know you've been cussed out until you walk away. And you're like, wait a minute, what did she say?
My mother always told me, you know, when I was young, I was teased a lot, and I was called a lot of names because I was really skinny, I was dark skinned, and you know, I was just ridiculed a lot. And my mom used to always tell me, I come on crying or whatever. She said, well, you know what? Just kill him with kindness. And at that point, I didn't know what it meant, you know,
mm-hmm.
until I got older, then I understood what it meant. And you actually can kill them with kindness. And this is what I tell my kids. Well, I used to tell my kids growing up, you know, if somebody do this or whatever, just kill them with kindness. Be nice to the person because they're going to conform eventually. You know, the nicer you be to them, they're going to turn around. They're going to be nice to you. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work like that. But trust me, a person with a heart and a person who's understanding, a person who will accept when they're wrong, that somebody's trying to make them see that they're wrong and to accept their wrongs, they're going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just keep being kind to them. Eventually, they're going to be kind to you. You know, they
right.
have no other choice. So my motto is, you know, kill them with kindness. Keep, you know, saying, well, you know what, I wish you a happy day. Have a blessed day. You know, I love you. And, you know, call me if you need something. I'm here for you. You know, and be there for them. Because trust and believe, they're going to return everything that you did for them.
Mm, absolutely.
Well, right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the spiritual cost of clutter and healing from sexual abuse from a healing perspective and the healing journey when we come back from this break.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com. Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to zero. 30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He, too, is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic. Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often, he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed field drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's JAYJAYPublishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
No!
Okay, we're back, and that's Baby Washington, Nobody Cares About Me. I love that song. I love all my old songs, as you guys know. If I didn't, I wouldn't play them, so that's another oldies but goodies, Baby Washington, Nobody Cares About Me. And we're back here on Delicious Talk Radio, bringing sexy back with our special guest this evening, Julie Caracio. Hope I said that right. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And we're discussing different perspectives of clutter in your life. And, you know, she's giving advice on how to get rid of it and, you know, the good that you'll come out on top once you get rid of it. So now we're getting ready to tackle these last three topics. And which one do you want to talk about first, Julie? The spiritual cost of clutter, healing from sexual abuse from a healthy perspective, or the healing journey?
You know, we can, why don't you pick one and we'll do that in depth, because I think we've covered a lot tonight. Would that work for you?
Okay, sure it will. Okay, what about the healing from sexual abuse from a healthy, from a healing perspective? We can talk about that, because I've experienced that, sexual abuse.
Yeah, I mean,
as have I.
Okay.
I completely believe you can heal from anything. And It was a process. So I think that you need to, again, honor where you are and accept where you are. But if you take those first step forwards to heal from it, and again, like, this was a long perspective, and forgiving the person that harmed me was the biggest and hardest thing I had to do. But when that happened, it was a weight lifted.
Right.
And I didn't realize, and what I had done was I'd stuffed it down. I pretended like it never happened. And I think a lot of times we, you know, the person that, when the woman was talking earlier, who came and who was bullying her son and screaming at her, you have people that let their emotions go wild and out of control and scream and yell, and then you have people that stuff them. And so I think it's really important to honor everything. If you have to cry, scream, yell, whatever it is, do that. You know, again, I think it's at some point you have to move forward. I think that is a really important part of healing. And again, you know, I mentioned earlier, if you can't forgive the person that harmed you, that's okay. Honor where you are. But I think the more you're able to do that, I think the more it helps you.
Mm-hmm. That is true, because you have to let it go, and you have to, you know, deal with the what's happening now. Because, like I said, I held on to that emotional, physical pain that had happened to me when I was 15, and, you know, didn't get rid of it until I was well into my 50s. And, you know, once I did that, I did feel, you know, so much better. And, you know, therapeutically for me, I'm going to write a book, my memoirs, and you know, part of that is going to be in there, you know, among some other things that has happened to me tragically in my life, as well as the good things that happened to me in my life, because my whole life wasn't tragic. I can remember some good times I've had in my life, and I can remember some bad times I've had in my life, as I'm sure most of us has experienced good and bad things in your life, and traumatic things in your life as well. But, you know, for me, it's therapeutic to write about those things, because in the books that I write, people who know me, you know, read my books, and some of the things they can, they actually can relate to, you know. And, you know, that makes me feel good when someone says, well, you know, I felt that way. I know how that person felt in that book. And in reality, the, you know, the stories is me, you know, but it's in fictional. You know, it's the books are fictional. But, you know, just writing and getting that out, you know, is very therapeutic for me, because as far as, like, the rape was concerned, that was something that I had suppressed for years and years and never spoken about it. You know, as family members, I don't know. One of my sisters had actually forgot about it, so, you know, and my brother, you know, we never spoke about it again, you know, all those years, but it has some things that go on later on in life that has sparked it all over again, you know. But, you know, just getting rid of it and forgiving the person who had did it has made me feel, you know, so much better. And, you know, just writing about it also is therapeutic for me, getting it out like that. But, you know, sometimes you
have to... Yeah, I think writing's great.
Right, right. You have to let it go in some form or fashion. But, you know, when you're in that position, because, you know, people, they don't understand. If it never happened to them, they can say, well, I understand this, but you don't understand because it never happened to you. Now, I can understand you saying, well, I feel sorry for you. I have empathy for you. You know, I don't understand because you don't. You can never tell me that you understand how I felt and what I went through if it never actually happened to you. You know, because I have a girlfriend, she lost her son, and she's going through some emotional changes because people are telling her, well, I understand how you feel. And she asked, well, have you ever lost a child? No. Well, you don't understand how I feel. You know, I don't mind you telling me that you have empathy for me, but don't tell me that you know how I feel because you don't.
Right.
You know, and just like, you know, women who say that they've been raped or, you know, cry rape and they've never been raped, that's not a good thing to do either. You know, either you've been raped or you haven't. But for a woman to say that I've been raped and it never happened, I think that's a tragedy in itself, you know, because what about the woman who has actually been raped and she's trying to get help, but they're, you know, saying, well, we don't believe it. You know, she's a liar and this and that. You know, that's hurtful right there. But it was in my case where, you know, everything was proven. You went to court and the guy was convicted. You know, he served jail time. And I understand to this day, well, I know a friend who knows this guy. And we had a conversation last year, I think it was. And he doesn't know, you know, what I'm doing with my life or anything like that. But he had told her that he never raped me.
Right,
and I
right.
said, well, you know, I don't know why he would say that. I guess because I don't know if it's guilt or, you know, what his reason was or anything like that. I don't know and I don't care, but it was proven in a court of law that he raped me, and there was no way that I was crying rape for no reason, you know. But they have their days or whatever when I guess they – I don't know, because like I said, I don't know what's on his mind or anything like that, but I've heard different things throughout the year that went happened. And then, like I said, those wounds were open to a point in my life after an incident had went down with another girlfriend of mine. So, you know, so it just, what were you saying?
Well, I would say, you know, you've healed, and I would say that he hasn't. I mean, even though he was the abuser, he perhaps can't face it. What he did to you, and that's why he's in denial. You know, we would hope that that's what it is, but he hasn't owned what he has done and hasn't healed from it. So I believe when that happens, that affects all your life. Because if you don't deal with something, it's going to keep coming around in your life until you own it, you learn the lesson or whatever it is, and move on.
Mm-hmm. And another reason why I think he may have said it, because the person that he had said it to, she was a friend of his. She knew him, but see, I didn't know him. The first time I ever saw him in my life was the night that he had raped me. But come to find out, she knew him, you know, and so we was talking about it, and I was, you know, expressing to her, you know, but she knew that I had gotten raped, you know, all those years ago. But we just had a conversation about it because what had happened, another girl that he was in a relationship with, she died last January. And the girl that he was in a relationship with was the young lady who was there when she saw him with his hands around my throat, forcing me from the location that we was at, and they got into a relationship. She was the person who had testified against him in court, you know, what she had saw, but they didn't know why he was trying to take me out of the location where he was taking me to, you know. But, you know, when things went down, she did testify that she saw him, you know, with his hand around my throat, but she didn't know that he was actually squeezing my throat from the back. He had his hand around, you know, racing it from the back. But, yeah, so she got into a relationship with him, and, you know, it was just a mess because she was telling me how he was raping her and sodomizing her and, you know, just doing all these crazy things to her. And, you know, like I said, the girlfriend that knew him, you know, I was having a conversation with her about, you know, the girl who had died and told her, you know, those things. So I guess he just doesn't want to own up to anything that he's ever done, you know. But that's what he said. He never raped me. But,
yeah, but I think a lot of perpetrators are like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why you have to forgive, because this guy's never going to own it. But if that's what you're waiting
right.
on, you might be waiting an entire time and driving yourself crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why I just said, you know what, I forgive him. It's a done deal. You know, it's been all those years ago. You know, I'm going to live my life and, you know, continue to do what I have to do and get on with my life. And, you know, I don't even know what he's doing, but according to the girl that I spoke to, he's not doing all that well. You know, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know that I'm getting along with my life and I'm doing pretty good. So, you know, I'm saying all that to say that, you know, as we had spoken before, the getting that clutter out, because that's clutter too, you know. So getting rid of that clutter, getting rid of that clutter, you know, makes me feel better. Now I got to get rid of this clutter, these papers and different things like that. But, Julie,
you'll
I do appreciate. Yeah, I know. I definitely will, because the tips that you gave out this evening, I am going to apply them. And the next time we talk, I'm going to let you know just how much you have impact my life as far as getting rid of my clutter.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it was a pleasure having you on tonight. Do you ladies have any closing remarks for Julie?
Oh, yes, I do, Gail. I'm sitting here looking. I've been looking around for the last hour and a half. And with my neat clutter, I'm going to get rid of this neatness over up in here on this dresser over here. And some spiritual stuff as well, and some forgiveness as well. I didn't go into other things, but this whole conversation has, like every guest that Gail has, I learned something from every show. And this one really, really gave me some insight into things I really need to be doing that I always knew but just didn't do. So I really appreciate you, Julie, for everything that you said, and I'm going to use your tactics and see how well I do.
Yay! Thank you. Wonderful.
I am, too, because, like I said, you know, just, you know, hearing those things opened up, you know, a good can of worms, because I, you know, just learning something like that, helpful like that, is going to make me see things a little different, you know, with my clutter. And like I said, the next time I speak to you, I'm going to let you know that, you know, the great impact you had on me for getting rid of this clutter.
Excellent.
Well, thank you. Rhea and Jay, do you have any closing remarks for Julie?
No, I just was getting ready to say the same thing. Basically, Miss Terry said what I was gonna say is that I have a lot of stuff that I need to declutter in my home, and I need to take step by step to do it because it's a lot. I love to hold on to papers and stickies and different things like that. So we really appreciate you being on the show, because you kind of have us now with an open mind on what we need to do to organize and declutter and declutter our hearts and forgive as well, as you said. Yeah.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Rhea, do you have any closing remarks?
It was interesting. I'm not a forgiver, and that's not going to change anytime. Probably will not change in my lifetime. I'm not a dweller anymore, and I don't hold animosity anymore. I just wish that person well and let them go on about their business. Just stay over there, and I stay over here. And I don't deal with them. I'm not one of the people that will ever go back and say we've grown past this. Oh, the hell we not. You know, you just stay over there, and I stay over here. and we'll live our life and be happy. I don't wish them no ill will, because I one thing I do know for a fact, you go around wishing things on people, they boomerang off back on you, because everything we do in life comes back to us in tenfold. So I don't believe in wishing nobody ill will, but it was interesting.
Right.
And,
really,
you know, the word clutter, especially the way it was used tonight, you can find it in so many different arenas and so many different areas in your life. You can find it in so many different little nooks and crannies that a conversation like this can easily open that up.
Mm-hmm.
You realize, oh, wait a minute, that's why I'm doing that. Right quickly, someone told me years ago that a woman who has been abused always carries bags. She's always loaded down with stuff. And, well, they didn't tell me. I think I heard it on a talk show or something. And I looked around. I said, is that why I carry that big purse? Because, I mean, I carried a big, huge purse. And I had some of everything in there. And then as they continued to talk, they said, because my purse was totally cluttered, neatly cluttered. I could tell you everything that was in there, go to it right away, but it was too much stuff in there. And they said she never knows when she's going to be on the run, so she keeps everything packed in her bag so she can grab that bag and go. And I'm like, damn. And that opened up a whole floodgate. So that's what tonight did. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to, Julie, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and also the books that you're working on as well.
Well, it's reawakenyourbrilliance.com. So reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and that has all the information about me. I'm getting to the editor hopefully in the next week or so, but I'm working on a couple books. But the one that's going to be coming out soon is How to Declutter Your Life, a year-long course. So it's going to kind of what we talked about tonight, but exercises for people to do and kind of a step-by-step guide to help with physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual clutter. So that's what will be coming out somewhat immediately.
Okay. Are you on any social medias that they can get in touch with you as
well? Oh, yeah. I'm on YouTube, and you can find it's all. If you go to the website, it's up there. You can subscribe to the podcast from there, and that's every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. I interview people, but I also talk myself, and you can also see it on YouTube at Julie Caraccio if you're more visual and want to watch the interviews on Clearing the Clutter. And I also have some interviews, Reawaken Your Brilliance, with different body, mind, and spirit experts as well.
Oh, okay. So you're not on Facebook or anything, are you?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. It's all. If you go to the site, it's easy. That's the easiest thing I tell people, because you can just click right away. Because I couldn't spell out the entire name on Twitter and Facebook and everything.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, everybody go to her website, which is www.reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and you can get all that other information on Twitter, Facebook, and any other social media that Julia Caraccio is associated with. And for being here tonight, we're going to give you a great big round of applause.
Appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, darling. This is your second home. Anytime you want to come back, you know how to get in touch with me. When your books come out or whatever, just email me, or, you know, inbox me on, oh, you're not on Facebook, but, you know, just email me, and or you can inbox me on Facebook because you are on there, and, you know, leave me a message and we'll have you back on. Jay, do you want to let everybody know what you do on Blog Talk Radio as well? What you're up to?
They can check. You can check us out every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Erotic Talk Radio. You can check us out, blogtalkradio.com/Erotic Talk Radio, and check our group page out on Facebook, Erotic Talk Radio. We're also, Miss Delicious is my co-host.
Love her, love her.
Thank you, Ms. Elizabeth.
Thank you, I love you too.
Thank you.
And that's every Thursday at 9 p.m. right there on Erotic Talk Radio. I'll be over there with Jade, co-hosting with her. Rhea, you want to let everybody know what you do?
Well, I am a book reviewer, and I am the chair and founder of a Chicago book club, well, reading group, really, that also reviews books at times. They don't do like they're supposed to. Anyway, I can be reached on Facebook. That's the easiest way to reach me, is on Facebook. And from there, you can get to my blog and any of the other forums that I review for or am involved with.
Okay. And Terry is our guest co-host. Tell them a little bit about you, Terry.
Oh, boy. Let me see. I am a novice writer. I have been writing and loving writing since I was in grade school, and I have started my little pamphlet. I'm not going to say book. I have started it, and it's going to be about my exciting childhood that I had coming up in a musical family, and I'm very excited about that. And you can find me on Facebook at Terry, I forgot what my Facebook thing is. What is it, Gail?
I think it's Terry Cox Brown.
No, Facebook, it's Terry Brown Cox. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. This is awful. Anyway, I am on Facebook, and I'm going to tell you right now. Don't move. Okay, hold on. I'm going to tell you right now. All right, Terry New Attitude Brown Cox.
All right. I like that.
T-R-R-I-E. Capital N, New Attitude, Brown hyphen COX.
All right.
That was perfect. That name was perfect for this show.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I guess everybody knows how they can get in touch with me. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/ Gail Delicious Johnson. That's my timeline page. I also have a fan page over there, which is facebook.com/ JJ Publishing. That's JAYJAYPublishing.com. I have 5 published books. You can go to my website and my web store and order any of my books. My latest book, Back to Zero, is jumping off the shelves. I only have a few copies left before I have to reorder again. But if you want to get an autograph book, just go to JAYJAYPublishing.com and order that book along with any of my other books on there. And you order a book, you also get a very special gift. So, you know, go to my website. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm just everywhere on the internet. So if there's something that you really want to know about me, you can Google Gail Delicious Johnson. And, you know, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience. You know, our subject matter is sometimes sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, Julie Caracio, and listening audience. Right. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email, and that's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, giving you guys the best guests and adult conversations on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Rhea. Thank you, Jade. Thank you, Terry, and my listening audience. Love you guys. Be safe. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, always, always, if you're drinking, don't drive. And if you're driving, don't drink. I love talking to you guys, not about you. Love you guys. Good night.
Thank you, Gail. Good night.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.
I'm going to hang up.